At the BiCast, we bring information about, by, and for our community. We are talking today with the BiPlus Story Project. Welcome, Mary.
Hi there. Good to be here today, Lynette and John.
Welcome.
Thank you. And can you just give us a real little rundown on what exactly the BiPlus Story Project is?
Yeah, when we're speaking about it, we usually just say Bi Story Project. But the Bi Story Project is visibility and research building infrastructure project. So we're trying to connect people's stories about bisexuality, whether it's about their own sexual orientation or experiences or some experience they've had with seeing stories about bi people in the media or something that happened to them in school or at work, to them, to someone else, and just sharing those stories, making them public.
Sounds fantastic. And why is it the Bi Plus story, a Bi Plus?
A lot of folks who we've worked with in the Bisexual Organizing Project, which is a not-for-profit serving bisexual people in the upper Midwest, identify with other labels. And so we work with people who identify as omnisexual or polysexual or pansexual. Sometimes folks who are unlabeled or questioning also kind of are falling in that in between homosexual or heterosexual. And so we want to be really inclusive. In the upper Midwest, we also have folks who identify as two-spirit. And so we wanted to make space for more people to feel comfortable. So we're using the term bisexual or bi plus as an umbrella for a lot of other identities that are between that Kinsey 5 and 2.
Awesome. That's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. So who is involved in the project?
So the project is led by myself, Jim Larson, and Camille Holthaus, who are all on the board of the Bisexual Organizing Project. And then our research committee also includes Dr. Alex Iantafi, Dr. Victor Raymond, and Brianna McMichael, and William Burleson.
Yeah, awesome.
Oh, great. I just met Victor a few weeks ago. He was at one of the White House events.
Yes. So.
Okay, so I understand you did mention something about research, but I understand the project is not research. Has this been misinterpreted? Or?
Yeah, because we are collecting stories, and there is the way that this project works, folks actually like walk up to a table, and they fill out a brief survey, which has some information about just, you know, their education experience, their work experiences, their community experiences, and also their housing experiences and family experiences. So folks fill that out, and then they walk into a booth where they share their story, and it's unprompted, so they can talk about whatever they want to in the privacy of the booth. And folks ask, well, you know, like, what research are you doing, or what are you trying to understand? And the survey does allow us to have some descriptive information about who was participating, and very, very coarse information about the kinds of experiences they're having, but it's not very rich. So we kind of report about that, but the real research is what we're hoping to make possible and enable other researchers to come to the Bi Story Project with proposals. And like, if they're wanting to know, well, what are the experiences of bi-identified African-American males who are under 30, we can like kind of look through our database and say, well, we've got, you know, six folks who fit that description, who shared a story. Do you want to, and who've approved of having that shared with researchers. So would you like to see that? Or do you want to change your criteria a little bit? Folks who do share their stories have the opportunity to share their contact information. So if researchers in the future want to get in touch with them, then they can do so. But we aren't really asking the research questions. We're building up a big set of information and stories, which will be able to be shared by the folks who approve to have them shared publicly. So anyone can just like look at them and maybe find folks that they feel like they share something in common with and be inspired or motivated. But the real research part is something that will be built up based on what requests we get from the research community. And of course, as I was going through those names, you noticed a couple folks who have doctorate degrees, myself included, in education. And Dr. Alexian Taffy is a psychotherapist, and Dr. Victor Raymond is a sociologist. And so as we were designing this, Brianna McMichael, I should also add, is an MPH. So as we were designing this, we were really thinking about how can we fill some of the needs for understanding of bi plus identified people, but we didn't want to ask very, like, we didn't want to direct the research. We wanted to build up the capacity so other researchers could do the work.
Fantastic. That's something with so much need. That's really fantastic. I'm really, I'm impressed.
We're really excited about it.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. So what are your plans for launching a website on Celebrate Bisexuality Day?
Right. So everything I've described was talking about the booth that we bring out to Pride events. And so we've been to the Twin Cities Pride, which is a very large event. I think it's maybe the third or fourth largest Pride event in the country. And then we'll also be at a few more Pride events this summer. So we'll be in Madison, in Fargo, College Town of Mankato, and up in Duluth. And we're also going to be at a couple events. And so we're looking to be invited to more events for the actual, like, in-person piece. But what we're also launching, because of course we know that not everybody has access or just is in a place in life where they can go to a big public event like a Pride or a conference, we're going to be launching a website where folks can share their stories and complete the paperwork piece or the survey piece completely online, totally confidentially, and share it in that way. And so, and they can, if they want to, like, wear a scarf or, you know, do it without the video piece and just share an audio story, then they have that that capacity to do so from wherever they're comfortable. And that will be going, like, we're really hoping to launch that for Bisexual Visibility Day, which is September 23rd this year.
That's great. That's perfect. Keep us posted about that. I was wondering when you were talking about going to the booth if there could be something more nationally. And that kind of answers that question right there.
We're really, like, a lot of folks who came up to our booth when we launched at the Twin Cities Pride asked, you know, like, I don't have time right now, or the folks that I'm with are in a hurry and they don't have the patience to wait for me to go through this. So, you know, can I do it somewhere else or online? And very, like, lots of excitement around the idea of this going online.
Just as important to be local and be visible that way, too. So both things are great. Now, do they have the option to do it anonymously?
Oh, yeah. Folks who do it at the booth has inside of it, so for folks who are just listening, it looks like a black cube, and it's actually moving blankets that we have pinned up around the frame, which is just a PVC frame. So the whole booth cost us like $45 or $50 to construct, and inside of it, there's actually a screen. So it's a shower curtain, and it's white and it has little plus signs on it. But we draw that across so that folks who don't want to be filmed with their face visible through the camera just are seeing that white screen.
Oh, great. That's perfect. Very inventive. The project has lots of current needs, and what kind of help do you need to keep this project going?
Well, like most projects, we do need some assistance with fundraising, and we'll probably be launching like a GoFundMe site as we expand the web opportunities, and we're also looking to be able to develop and support some initial research projects, just to a very minor extent. We do need invitations to events. We also are looking to train folks in other locations so they can, like, run a booth of their own. The material cost is very small, and that's if you're taking it into a public location. You can also just help people record stories just in a classroom where you have a little bit more control over the environment. So you don't even really need the booth part, and we can, you know, help teams get hooked up with the surveys and just kind of like how the process works. We also are looking for additional research committee review panel members. Like, we don't have someone who has housing expertise and who understands the needs of bi people around housing. We also really could use help with folks who have communications expertise, whether it's like working with traditional media and stories for papers or blogs, but also some just infrastructure needs around website design and expertise as we really build up the site. Like, our models have been the It Gets Better project and a project called Beyond Bullying, which are both story sharing projects.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah.
So you have you were talking about Pride events and such that haven't happened yet. Do you still need volunteers to staff? And if so, where can they go sign up?
We do still need some volunteers for the events in the Upper Midwest, and folks can just go to our website, send us a message there, or they can send a email directly to bystoryproject@gmail.com, or they can send a message to us on Facebook, just a direct message on Facebook. Because the project is pretty small right now, we don't have any bottlenecks about how people can get in touch with us.
Great. And we'll provide all those links in our link file on the website for everyone, so how they can get in touch and what they can do. Okay?
Excellent.
Okay. Awesome. Okay, Mary, anything else you want to add or put in right now, or anything we might have missed?
Sure. Yeah, my last message to folks would just be that we really believe that everybody has a bi story to tell. And one of the just really motivating, amazing things that's happened is, I mean, folks will go into the booth and, you know, we really are kind of encouraging them and helping them to just feel confident that, you know, it's going to be okay. No one's going to be paying attention to what they're saying right now, so they can just share. And then they come out and they're just really excited. And the just excitement kind of spread around the event when we launched at Twin Cities Pride, and folks would be coming out of the booth and just really encouraging the folks who were kind of just milling around, learning about what the project was, and kind of helping people to enlist. But there's just so much need to build up the visibility of bi plus identified folks, and we're just really honored to be getting to participate in doing that work.
Well, it sounds like it's pretty empowering.
Yeah.
Mary, we really appreciate you taking the time to tell us about the Bi Story Project, and we hope that it works out really well. Keep us posted on how it's going. It's really a much-needed thing. We appreciate you coming on.
Great. It was fantastic talking to you today.
Yes, it was. I learned something. I didn't realize how extensive it is, and I'm very impressed.
Thanks. Yeah, we've really got a great stronghold of leaders up here in Minnesota in the Upper Midwest.
Awesome. We'll be talking to you again soon, okay?
Great.
All right, we'll just wrap up. I just want to remind everyone, you are not wrong, you are not broken, and you are not alone. You are a human being, and you are bisexual, and you have a story, too. Bye.
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 Bye, Mary. Great, fantastic. I think that went well. How do you guys feel?
Good. Got it. I think you feel like you got everything you needed to get covered?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I could go into a lot more detail, but
yeah.
I think it just, you know, kind of gets technical. So,
well, I think it really helps because, you know, everybody sees the Bi Story Project on that when you post all of that, but I don't think they're really getting all the information about it. So this is kind of a way to say, you know, more in depth and, you know, say this is what's really it's about. And I think that's helpful.
Yeah,
that really helped a lot.
I think what the project becomes is really dependent on how the community receives it. And I mean, if researchers submit proposals and we can really get a lot of momentum from having this data already available. As a researcher myself, a large part of the challenge to doing a research project is making the connection to the community and getting their trust and then getting the information. And so by having part of that hurdle already managed, folks in graduate school or who are young researchers, and I mean, really, there's just not a lot of funding in this area at this time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It just really promotes the feasibility of doing research that can relate to building understanding for the Bai people.
I'm hopeful that it's going to be helpful to those people that do surveys and things for LGBT folks, and we don't have very good representation in those. I'm hoping for that.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I'm seeing some changes. I mean, it looks like there is starting to be, especially state and local money is starting to come down to do funding on bisexual research now. And I think some of the studies that are coming, that have been coming out that show need, that's the hook that researchers need to use when they're going after that funding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still see a lot of stuff getting lumped in with lesbian and gay topics at the same time, which I don't, my experience is that that's just not going to be focused enough. Like, it'll have to be more specifically targeted towards Bai folks in both the research as well as any efforts that are being made to help and assist and make things better.
The Williams Institute has
been fantastic.
Trying to break out a lot of this stuff. And, you know, the CDC study, which I think it's a start, but it still has lots of holes in it, was just the beginning of, like, official government understanding that we need to be included and broken out. You know, I do feel, you know, I do think that sometimes the big national gay and lesbian organizations like to lump us in because it shows more need because we're so needy.
Well, we make the numbers look good.
Well, we also make the numbers look a lot bigger. I mean, we're like, we double the number.
Yeah.
Easily, mm-hmm. Sometimes more.
Easily.
Yeah, I work with youth and with, like, the population that's in K-12, and they're struggling. There is so much suffering and that is happening. And the youth who are identifying as Bai, I mean, it's very similar experiences, and just how do you get that message to educators and to school systems and to GSAs, like the Gay and Straight Alliance.
Yeah. Well, just even getting, you know, into the local LGBT community centers and, you know, making sure that when these kids come in there, they're not, they're helped and not, you know, either excluded or
told that they have to choose.
Not validated. You know what I'm saying there?
Yeah, I mean, like, dismissed. Or there's the myth of Bai privilege is still so strong with practitioners in the field who often are who often do identify as gay or lesbian, that, like, I was talking to a person in the community recently who is very involved with a particular social work and therapy organization, and they were talking about their youth group, and she's like, you know, we just don't have a lot of Bai-identified youth who participate. And I'm like, well, what's wrong then? How are you not getting
them? Yeah, there's a reason.
Because we know, like, I know what my numbers are in the school district, and, like, why is it then, given their needs and how many of them there are, that your services aren't getting to them? Like, where's the breakdown there? Because it's not that they don't exist or that they don't have needs.
Yes, exactly. Right. So what is the problem? You know, why, you know, exactly. I mean, it's like when they do these surveys, like, you know, in the LGBT, they go to the LGBT centers. You're not going to find bisexuals taking surveys in LGBT centers. You're not going to find us there. You know, we're not welcome.
They're not going
to
be there.
I mean, you have to put your foot in the door. And, like, that's what we've done in D.C. And, you know, when you do, you are welcomed if you're doing it right.
I approached my Q Center here too, and I said, you know, I need to know what you have as, you know, bisexual resources and what is in your library. And once I started that dialogue, it was like, okay, we're going to include that. And so now, you know, I have to go follow through and see what exactly is in their library. And you have to kind of do that, I think, right?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, our biggest advocacy group here has these focus areas, but they've just really missed. I mean, there's also this whole, like, you know, serving the needs of fighting homophobia and transphobia. And it's like, just kind of missing the mission of that there's still a lot of biphobia that has to be addressed.
Yeah.
And what that is. But that myth of, like, the bi privilege is so pervasive and so strong.
It is.
And even in the research community, folks are just like, really? Why is that? I mean, isn't there so much privilege about it?
Yeah, and I know. It's just, well, that's what we're here to do is start educating, right?
Exactly.
Right. And John, I think they're coming after you now. Here comes the black helicopter.
Other one. I don't know what's going on.
It's a busy day out there.
It must be something going on in D.C. today.
Great chatting with you all. Hopefully I'll see you around some events someday.
It's a goal of my life.
The cause is scheduled outside of our Pride Week next year. I'll be there.
Oh, fantastic. That's you know, yeah, because it was, it's just a really great event.
It was,
I'm going to be there no matter
right
what.
It was right in our Pride Week. I got A. Billy and Lorraine because I knew about it early when it was announced. And we basically did our event early in the week, and really I think we started organizing in February whenever it came, you know, so that they were still in town when we did our event.
Yeah, A-Billy, it was great having A-Billy and Lorraine out here.
We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Bye.
The views expressed on the Bicast do not necessarily represent those of Binet USA or the Bicast crew.